Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And we're off. Running commentary. Here we are. Good morning and welcome to our guest.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming out for Rumbus. We've got Kate Carter here from The Guardian, life and style editor, and you do the running blog.
Is that accurate?
Have I caught your CV in a nutshell?
Yep.
And keen runner.
Keen.
I'm very excited about chatting to Kate about the sub three. Because I'm sort of in the same ballpark, so
yeah,
I'm keen to
try
and work it out.
Sorry, guys. When we were up there, when I put my phone on the ground, did anyone pick it up?
I didn't pick it up, no. Let's go back.
When I put my phone on the ground?
You guys keep
talking sub three.
Let's go back. Let's go back very quickly. Whereabouts was that where you put your phone on the ground?
Just when we were standing outside. We met at Ellis Walking Slopes.
Next one, go underneath, otherwise you have to cross the road.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Unprecedented. Never happened.
Wow, that was...
We're already completely uncharted territory. Hopefully you'll find it.
Putting in some speed reps now.
Yeah, that's the fastest I've seen him running training for a long time. Let's hope he gets there. Please, let's hope it's there. Poor Rob.
Excuse me.
He definitely didn't put it in his bag or anything.
I remember him putting it on the ground. I'm sure it'll be there. I mean,
it's not here.
It's a kind of cracked old... It seems like the kind of area where people might put it into reception, sort of. Some people might.
Yeah.
Sort of half and half, isn't it?
Yeah. Still looking.
Doesn't look like it's there.
All right, listen. Let's stop this recording anyway.
Me too.
Sorry about this.
That's right.
Actually, don't bother. Just keep it rolling. We'll just re-edit
ground,
it.
Just outside.
Okay. So it's more complicated. Phone?
Yeah, it's an iPhone with an R2-D2 case. Thank you.
I can't even remember exactly where we were standing, was it?
Yeah,
I left my phone on the guy with the...
Have you had it handed in? Yeah, it's an iPhone with an R2-D2 case. Ridiculous.
Was there something else with it?
I haven't got much else.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else.
If you guys don't have any luck there, I can...
Yeah.
Shall we go and just quickly... Let's see.
Okay, I will.
What else did you find?
He's gotten into that one.
Yeah, okay. That's mine. Drama. Thank you. I'm going to say.
Any luck?
Apparently. They found something else. They won't tell me what it is. Did you lose anything? Did you put anything down? I didn't have anything.
No. Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
His
Mercedes Benz, yeah. My car keys. Mercedes Benz car keys, yeah. With it's just a single fucking. what calamity? Absolute carnage. Was that on the stairs there? How fortunate. Fucking.
So. Really sorry about this. We're actually quite
okay,
useful.
Sure.
Well, I.
It's all recorded. Lost a car. So, you know, he's left his car key behind, and at least I became aware that I'd left my phone. I'm really embarrassed.
Hello, mate. Right. My mate just thought he lost the phone. But I've realised I left
generally with a
single
child.
Mercedes-Benz car keys.
You know what it's like. Down 1 minute.
Yeah, that was funny because they clearly knew he'd lost his car keys. Didn't want to tell me what it was. So, like, come on, you've lost something.
When you said a Mercedes, I thought you meant a car.
I did
would be impressive.
Part that here in 2015.
Yeah, hang on, where's my Porsche?
Idiot. Because, of course, hilarious. You know, security's pretty... what we'll do is when we step out there, we'll get a photo and we'll start again, and then we'll see how it all sounds. We'll probably start from scratch. It's probably the best
idea.
What
an idiot. Thank you so much. I didn't even realise I'd left it. I left it on the stage.
Maybe they're not
what
giving it to him.
What a fool. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Just brilliant. Okay, here we go.
So have you found your phone?
Oh, yeah.
How exhilarating.
Yes.
I mean, what an amazing start. You lost your phone. I'm thinking, Rob, what an idiot. How can you lose your phone?
Let's get the through.
How can you lose your phone? Meanwhile, I've left my keys.
And you didn't even know.
Prize plum.
I just thought I'm going to get a little bit closer to you. Looks like take a step back because you look
absolutely
like you're
horrified to be with these
this
clowns.
This is really shameful. Okay, we're starting again, but we're keeping all that. But anyway, double clap in case we're cutting
another
again.
Whee!
Take two.
Fools.
You join us, hopefully, because I'm hoping Steve's cut that little farrago out.
Well, I think you should edit it a little bit together because it is utter drama, isn't it? We've never had such drama at the start of it.
Absolutely. We've come to King's Place, the home of The Guardian, to meet Kate Carter, life and style editor, keen runner, running blog. You did a running blog for The Guardian.
I do, I edit it, yeah.
And we set off and then I realised I'd left my phone on the ground. Went back to get my phone, which luckily they had, and they said, have you lost anything else? I said, what is it? They said, we can't tell you. Long story short, Paul's car keys.
I love my car keys. Idiot.
Skills. Okay, so let's talk about running. Today, King's Place is just behind, if you don't know, it's behind King's Cross and by the canal, and we're picking up the canal. And do you do this run a lot?
I do it, yeah, God, all the time.
Well, I think because do you run, how many days a week do you run?
Most days, to be honest. Technically supposed to have a rest day on Fridays, but I normally come for a little jog.
Right.
That's a rest day, right?
That really says something about what run you are when you run on your rest day.
Yeah, a person with an addiction.
Would you describe yourself as addicted? Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
I think I'm approaching the same territory. Whoa.
I definitely can't do without running, but on the other hand, I'm not sure I can run every day.
Well, I worked up to that, I guess, when I
it takes a while.
Started. Did what, three or four days a week?
You've come to running, haven't you? You haven't always been a runner.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a runner at all. I started when I've got two kids, and I started when my little one was born, which is about 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
When I was on maternity leave with her. And
again, that's supposed to be time off. You get that.
Well, you know what? But the time off when you're on maternity leave is time away from anyone.
Yes, right.
You know, it's like no one having any demands of you. And
quite a strange time, I can imagine.
Yes. You know, people always used to say to me, oh, don't you miss adult conversation? And I always just think, no, you know, actually what I really miss is no conversation.
Yeah.
I miss no one talking to me.
Yeah. This is exciting.
I never used to like running. But I think I found it at the right time, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
So you just
started running gradually?
I started with the Couch to 5K.
Isn't that an awesome programme?
It's amazing.
So many people do it.
It's so good.
We should explain what we're running over.
Yeah, this is nice. We are running on. We're running on a pontoon.
Basically, we're running over something designed to make you feel like an elephant.
Yes. I always feel so sorry for the pedestrians. I was running along here the other day, in fact, and it replaces the towpath, listeners. And I came up behind a walking group of about a couple of dozen people.
Oh, yeah, there's always
And they saw things, there was a runner ahead of me. And when they saw him, they all got over to one side. And the whole pontoon thing just completely tipped
up.
Yeah,
it does. And you get school children and sometimes they start screaming. Like, ah!
Yeah. So, but we're nearly across it now.
Oh, hey, obstacles. obstacles.
I've got a colleague who refuses to run along this bit because he feels like it makes him feel so enormous.
It makes you aware of your weight, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Makes me aware of my weight. Aware that it's basically like you two combined. And past the gas holders. I'll get some rhythm up in it. This is like the beginning of the bath half.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you. Fun stuff coming up.
So this is what you're talking about, Kate, about this. There's work going on here.
Yeah, all
there's
the way
There's big work happening
here.
By the side of the canal.
Yeah. They're building these are kind of luxury flats.
We're going to
have to
find
the thing
that
London needs.
it's all a bit chaotic down by the canal. And you're at the moment... She started running as a young mum. Couch to 5K.
As a mum.
Yeah.
Don't couch to young, 5K.
All right, yeah, mum. Yes. Couch to 5K.
Yeah.
So, sorry, just enjoyed to go back it. A bit. You said, was there ever any kind of sprinkling of it when you were younger? What did you think of running at school and stuff?
I don't remember. I mean, I did some sport at school. Bizarrely, yeah. I was on the athletics team for the shot put and the discus.
Which just is, missed it.
Yeah.
I might go for a run. No, throw this.
They were fun events, though, weren't they?
I think I was on the team for that because I was the only one standing still at the moment. Yeah.
You were waiting for your moment.
Yeah. And I don't really remember ever running. I mean, they must have made us do it, but
yeah.
I went to school in London, so you know the people who remember cross country and kind of that's their association of running at school.
Yeah.
But if you go to school at Hammersmith, not a lot of cross country.
Where are you going
to
go? Yeah.
So no, I didn't really do anything. I did do a triathlon once, on quite a short notice.
Right.
Back in, I think it was like 2006 or something. But running was the bit I actually hated.
Right.
But the fact that you could do it at short notice indicates you might have been
had some little bit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Fit.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I did the Olympic distance one, and I did the 10K at the end in about... I think it was about 48 minutes.
Yeah, so you've got... It was a natural runner, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it's funny, though, because I remember...
It was a runner,
being really surprised by that.
Right.
Oh, and then I broke my toe on the way home.
Woo!
So I didn't run for a good couple of years, I think.
That's a shame. On the way home as well.
Yeah, literally on the way home. I got very cross with the Docklands Light Railway train and...
and kicked it.
Kicked me. The door kicked me.
But do you remember a moment when you did your catch 5K and then all the running thereafter? Can you pin it down to one moment when you thought, this is it, this is my thing, I'm going to keep doing this?
I think it was more gradual than that.
Yeah.
I remember, so I started with I did it with a friend who was also kind of on maternity leave with her second. We both sort of did it, not running together all the time, but like... comparing notes all the time and moaning all the time about how everything ached, you know,
yeah.
Usual. And we did a 10K in that summer. And then I did a half marathon, I think it was Royal Parks in the autumn.
Yeah.
And I did it about 140, low 140s, I think.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really done any structured training or anything. And my husband sort of said to me, oh, you know... I think you could be quite good.
Well, you're...
So he bought me a...
Sorry. Me and a cyclist both going the same way. And if we'd really played chicken, one or other of us could have ended up nose-diving into the canal. But luckily, we avoided that.
So you obviously had natural ability.
Yeah,
my husband
pace.
Bought me a coaching kind of package for my birthday that year. And it kind of... Yeah, I just went from there, really. And I built up, as I say, like starting with, I don't know, 4 days a week or something. I built up to pretty much every day.
Yeah, you just challenge. Saying starting with 4 days a week has made various listeners go, oh.
Well, when I was doing Couch to 5K, I'm sure I did whatever it suggests you do.
Yeah. But it set up a rhythm, didn't it, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Goes to show how that works. And now how many marathons have you done?
Seven? Yeah, I think it's seven, yeah.
How many of those are London?
Three.
And you're about to do your fourth?
Yes,
one.
Yeah.
And, take us through, most recently been in Tokyo.
Yes, yeah. So originally signed up to this new kind of overseas runner scheme that they've got.
Right.
I think Tokyo is very dominated by... Japanese runners.
Right.
Far more so than most other, like, world majors.
It's not on the international scene, kind of.
Yeah, I guess because, you know, people, you know, there's the kind of language barrier that's greater than, I don't know, Berlin or whatever.
Yes. But it is one of the majors, isn't it? What are the majors? London, Tokyo, Berlin, Chicago.
Yeah. New York,
that's it.
Boston.
Oh, Boston. Right.
Three American ones.
Yeah, they like that. And which of those have you done?
I've done London, Berlin, New York, and Tokyo. So I've got Chicago and Boston to go.
I know you signed up for them. Or they
yeah, I'm doing Chicago in the autumn.
Brilliant.
And then hopefully Boston next spring.
I've heard that Chicago's a particularly good one. Is that right?
I think so.
It's meant to be quite fast, Chicago.
Yeah,
I think it's quite weather dependent because it can be very windy, I've heard.
Right. That's right. In fact, I've heard it called the Windy City.
Yes.
I just got in for the Windy City. The Windy City is my name. Pretty, but they ain't getting it.
So you did Tokyo as like a sort of long training for London.
Yeah, I mean, originally that wasn't kind of the plan, but right. It just sort of worked out that way, and my coach was cool with that.
That's a long one, isn't it? It's a long training run.
How
did that feel, sort of afterwards and during, and did it feel weird running a marathon and not really going for it?
No, it felt fantastic, and I really recommend it.
Yeah.
It was so enjoyable, and 26, you know, 0.2 miles in that race felt easier than, I don't know, 18 by myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a wet Sunday morning slugging around the towpath.
You've kind of got all the upsides of being in a marathon, all that kind of group spirit.
Yeah.
Big event moment without any of the pressure to make it the best it can be, I suppose.
Exactly. And people giving you water. And
so what's your fastest marathon? Not that that's important, listeners.
That would be Berlin.
Yeah, this is last Berlin, last autumn.
No, it's the one before, actually. Oh, the Berlin Shocker last year. Berlin 2015.
15,
that?
That's right.
Yeah.
Which I also did, I think. That's right, isn't it? Yes. And what was your time in that?
3 hours and 7 seconds.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
3 hours and seven.
That 7 seconds doesn't really count, though, does it? I mean,
well, there's someone made me a lovely card that said, "Congratulations on your PB, 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 67 seconds."
So this is where the canal's closed for. Should we try and carry on?
I think we can.
Is it closed?
Can we go? We can't get through that way.
Yeah, I think we should get off right now. No access beyond this point.
Okay.
We'll have to come back. Let's not come back.
Sure.
Let's get off.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So, and also we can see the fun sights of of Camden. I think that's great. We'll stick with that. 2 hours, 59, 67 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. This is something we've talked about quite a lot. The closer you get to it, the more artificial it is. Because all you're doing really is watching zeros go over. But then, how did it... I mean... Did it spoil Berlin for you, or did it matter? What was your feeling on that?
Well, I didn't expect to get as close as I did on the day because, I mean, I was going for sub three on the day, but I managed to fall over twice.
Ooh! Well, that probably took more than 7 seconds.
Well, one time was kind of more like a, you know, sort of stumble down and then get up straight away.
But I think we were talking just last week about Berlin water stations. Cups!
Yeah.
No bottles.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Bad bottles are the best, aren't they? You've got to have squeezy bottles.
Yeah.
Then you can do what you want with them.
And that self same year, half an hour behind you, I took a cup of water and stopped to drink it in Berlin. And when I'd done, I thought, oh, I'm done running. I've been going quite well until then.
Yeah.
The cups are just too frustrating, aren't they?
It's really hard to drink out of them. And also, it's hard to get rid of them. Shall we go that
way? This way, across and then up that way.
Okay. Here we go. We're right. I know there's lots of Gospel, people, aren't we? We're just surrounded by confused students.
This is crazy.
Workers and
take a picture.
Did you see the 3 hours clocking up? Were you speeding up? Was it a kind of desperate sort of it's out of my hands kind of moment? Was it a slow motion?
No.
That would have been better drama, but no. I think by about 25 miles, I was like, well, I haven't done it. And so it was more amazed that I got that close, you know?
This is something I want to talk to you about, actually, because I'm going to beat 3 hours.
Yeah.
in London. I did 3:03 in York last year.
Uh-huh.
I did 85 minutes for half marathon a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that about half. That's a good time.
And I'm trying to... I've decided to go for a little bit faster than 3.
Yeah.
Because I think if I go for 3 and I sense it's going a little bit...
You'll let it.
I'll just let it go.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of what I'm like.
Yeah.
But if I go through in sort of like... the half marathon, about 88 minutes.
Yeah.
With a bit of a cushion, trying to relax.
Yeah.
I just think that suits my mentality more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? With me, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to get close. There's a part of me that thinks, I'll just let it go.
You don't want it
just
to get too close, yeah.
Yeah, just let it go. So it's getting too desperate for me.
You throw it rather than get
yes,
too close.
Yeah. And that's slightly similar to you at Berlin, isn't it, sort of?
Yeah, I mean...
Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, you feel it going, so it's like, oh, well...
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's
bye-bye.
Hard to remember afterwards. I was funny. At the time, I wasn't that gutted.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got a PB.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be. Any day with a PB is a good day.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be gutted at that.
And I remember my coach emailing me and saying, look, I know you're not going to feel like this, but there is no physiological difference between running 2:59, 30 and 3:07.
No, there isn't.
You know, it's a couple of better water stations or, you know, running
the line. There's no physiological difference, but time does exist as a point of measurement, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah.
So, there's a pause at a water station, that's it, but you still want to beat it, or else...
Yeah, absolutely, otherwise I wouldn't still be...
Or else there'd be no point.
How much had you shaved off your previous PB at that point?
I'd done London that spring in 3:03 and something.
Right.
Yeah.
So quite similar to me, actually.
I think you're on for 3 hours and 10 seconds, Paul.
I think I'm bang on for 3:11. Yeah.
3 hours and 8 seconds.
But your half marathon PB. Your half marathon PB is better than mine.
I think every runner's different, isn't it? I think some runners have more natural endurance to sustain pace and some don't. And I think we're all about the same ballpark, aren't we? So.
And it's interesting because actually women are supposed to be better at that.
At keeping going for longer? At pace
converting,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of converting half into full. And actually I was looking the other day at the... Have you ever looked at the... You know, the kind of half marathon to marathon predictor calculators that you could get.
Yeah.
There's the Rigel one.
Right.
Which is kind of the main one I think they use. And it's interesting. If you put in, say, 1:23 as a woman,
right,
you get a much better time than if you put 1:23 as a man.
Interesting.
So they obviously
the factor that is.
I should know this because for a year, a couple of years ago, I was the fastest woman over 40 in Crouch End.
Due to an administrative error, Rob ran as my wife.
I just heard it was an administrative error.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So, and now your next big run is London, right?
Yeah.
And we're exactly a month out as we speak.
Well, we are, aren't we?
And
exciting getting the programme and the magazine. That's always a nice moment, isn't it?
Although it always takes me right back. When I was doing my first one, people get saying to me, so are you training? And I think, I'm not training. And then remember that running is training. So I was training because I was running. You know, I mean, obviously you have to tailor your running and get a bit of distance and strength going. But every time they asked if I was training, I felt like I wasn't training at all. Which
and
is crazy.
And how's your training going? And you did you went to a week away.
Oh yeah,
I did.
How did that go? Talk to us.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, so I had a bit of a mad month really. I went to Tokyo.
Yes.
With Sophie and Susie Chan and
other
friends of the podcast.
Yes.
And then I got back, had a few days at home, and then a week after Tokyo, I ran the Cambridge Half and got a PB.
Brilliant.
Which was bizarre.
So that's great. So was it very gentle training in the week in between sort of thing?
Yeah, we flew back on the Monday, so obviously nothing that day. And then just
up and down the aisle of the plane a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, strapped it, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just kind of did some easy running.
I've heard
that
you've
week.
Got the plane record.
I'm so cool with
for that section, yeah.
Yeah. And then I did Cambridge Half, and then on the Thursday went off to Portugal to the 209 training camp.
Right, that's with Mick Grattan.
Mike Grattan, yeah. Because 2:09 is his winning London Marathon time.
That is quite a fast time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. When you think as well, that was in 83, I think.
Yeah.
So before the days of, you know,
going
really
faster than that.
High-tech shoes. And
that was when I was really into running the first time round, Mike Grattan.
Yeah.
I remember him. He wasn't big, but he's quite a solid runner, wasn't he? He's quite a solid athlete.
He is, and he's got quite a low kind of cadence.
He's got a real shuffle on, hasn't he? Does he still run?
He does.
Does he really?
And he's actually got really into it again.
Oh, fantastic!
How old is he?
Just in the last year or so.
I mean, that was 30 years ago. Yeah, he must be late 50s, early 60s. Yeah.
So he kind of let it, I don't think I'm being rude here, I think he'd say this as well.
He let it slide.
Let it slide for a bit. And then in the last, 6 months, 10 months or so, he's really got back in it. He's lost a ton of weight.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we did this, part of this training camp, they do a 5K, which is organised by some, I think, expats who live out in Portugal.
Right.
And so it's open to everybody, but obviously a lot of the training camp does it. And Mike did it, and he was absolutely cruising past me.
Was he really?
Yeah. I think he ran like 18:30 or something.
Wow. That's incredible, isn't it? That sense memory of an elite athlete.
Yeah.
And how quickly they can click back into something like it, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, the body knows what's expected of it. That's incredible.
He's just got an incredible engine, you know?
Yes. And that economy of motion as well that he'll have built up over the years. So what kind of training did you do on the week away? Was it twice, two runs a day sort of thing?
It's all optional, so you have to kind of tailor to what you're doing, what you're feeling. But there's kind of two runs a day, and there's a track there, and there's a cross-country course.
That sounds perfect.
And then kind of a long run loop.
Okay. Yep.
They park a van out so you can leave your gels and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And there were some elite athletes out there as well.
Who was out there?
So Jenny Spink, who's in the elite field.
Yeah.
Right.
The women's. And Tracy Barlow, who's also in the elite field.
Wow.
So there's some pretty speedy, mostly speedy ladies.
Oh, good idea. Yes.
Parkway.
It's a brilliant idea. I was just about to head up Primrose Hill and we were saying we didn't want to go up a hill. As we go this way.
I like going this way because I like saying hello to the giraffes.
Yeah, we're at the back of Regent's Park now, Regent's Park Zoo. We just passed the Snowdon Aviary, which is the most...
smelly?
Yeah, well, that's nice. I was going to say the most Jurassic Park element, but I'm sure Jurassic Park's pretty stinky too.
And the weirdest track in London?
Yes.
Which is like 387 metres, I think.
No wonder I can do it so fast.
It's got to be a photo. Is it a quick photo?
Yep. There you go. Do you want to quickly run around it, Paul?
That'd be great.
Yeah, just quickly.
So it must have been quite fun on a kind of fantastical level to sort of... it's up to you.
I always go that way.
Wherever you want to go. It's your run.
This way.
Great.
Must have been quite nice to sort of pretend you're a professional runner for a week. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, just to be one, to live as one.
Yes.
I bet that was really good fun.
It's fantastic because also you get to properly recover.
Yes.
Between, like you just sit on your bed and...
embrace your inner extremist.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So you went for a run, came back...
I think my mum would probably say I have no problem embracing my inner extremist.
No, but to be surrounded by people who let you do it as well.
Yeah,
so
totally.
So there's nothing else going on, you know.
And it's totally legitimate to go and like just sit on your bed for 2 hours.
Sounds
after
great.
A run.
It's quite Elizabeth Gilbert, really, isn't it? It's like going off to... it's like the next chapter to Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
Eat, Pray, Love, Run. You go and eat your pizza in Naples.
It is basically Eat, Chill, Run.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, let's all go.
I bet you felt great coming off that. How far did you run in that week?
90 miles.
Wow.
In the week. And
that's
I felt
a
great.
Solid week, isn't it?
That's a really damn solid week.
Is that a mileage PB?
I think so, yeah. I think I went on the previous year as well. I think I did 85 that time.
Okay,
yeah.
I felt great. And then, obviously, I got home. And then I tried to do my long run on the Sunday. And I completely fell apart.
What, just too tired?
Yeah. You know when you do a long training run for a marathon? The last couple of miles are always like...
that can be really difficult.
Real slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you're thinking, God,
how am I
feeling
gonna
this
do
is
this?
A slog from like 18. What's it going to be like when 26 comes? But this one, I was like, mile two. I was like, oh my God, how long is this mile?
It just goes to show that slow impact recovery can hit anyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're running every day, you're super fit, and yet you're still thinking, oh great, now I can carry on.
Yeah.
An impact from that, it's like a stone in a pond, you know, the ripples aren't coming up, the bubbles aren't coming back.
Maybe you've got a bit of a psychological crush after the high of Tokyo, Cambridge, the week away. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot going on there, isn't there? A lot of great stuff.
Should have gone to what?
Suddenly you're on your own and you've got a 17, 18 miler on your own.
Absolutely. I think that's it. And you know what? Actually, I was supposed to be doing 21 or something, and I had to stop at about 10 and have a little stern word with myself not to have a public, you know, crying fit.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't do it!
And then I thought, okay, I'll just do... I was on the river on the north side near where I live, Southampton. I thought, I'll just go to Hampstead Bridge and back. That'll be about 16. That'll have to be it today. And then I got round to Hampstead Bridge, and I'd been talking to Sophie earlier.
You are.
And I'd said, oh God, maybe I'll bump into you. And at that point, I was so low. I thought, I'll just wait here for a minute, just in case. It won't happen, but just in case. And literally 30 seconds later, there she is.
Oh, excellent.
So total nice. Kind of.
So you needed companionship, and along it came.
Yeah, so she got me home, basically.
And you got your 16, you did 16.
I did, yes.
Because you have to listen to your buddy.
Technically, I did 18, because I did do junior park run first.
Well, right. You did do 18.
And my five-year-old got a PB, so.
Very good. So how old are your kids now?
5 and 8.
And are they both run, or is it just your five-year-old?
They do both run, yeah. Although the five-year-old actually beat the eight-year-old.
Brilliant.
And there was some...
There's going to be some...
Yeah.
...discussions with that one.
Yeah.
It's a good day for the five-year-old, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. She's telling everybody about
That's
it.
That's a glorious so. Day.
She's got... She's definitely got a distance runner mentality. Like, you can see her...
Stubborn.
Yeah. The look on her face
stubborn,
at the end,
tough.
She's like...
Yeah.
You know, I'm not giving up now.
Well, kids, you know, even... Kids who weren't growing up grow up to be like you guys and into the running are naturally pretty good at running, but the one thing they're not don't tend to be good at is stamina, isn't it?
Yeah, you see, she's got natural stamina already, whereas her sister is more of a sprinter, I think. She's pretty quick over 100 metres, but for her, junior park run,
how long
2K is like a marathon.
It's 2K, it's quite a long time, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but my son's 12, and granted, he's not a little whippet, he's not much, he's not, he doesn't miss his physical exercise when he doesn't get it. We'll go for a run, but he doesn't run more than about a kilometre. And you know, he's 12.
Yeah.
I don't think we've really found that much to her, except that my son is a fairly relaxed guy.
Well, there's some studies, aren't there? I mean, they're quite worried about the fact that a lot of kids now are getting into doing longer distances earlier.
Yep.
So like doing...
Too much too soon, sort of.
Yeah, even doing part run 5Ks when you're, you know, 8 or 9 or something.
I think that's a bit far, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's just no need for it. There's plenty of time, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. They should get down to my grad's training camp, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Get them down the track.
So you must be feeling fairly confident about a good one with all this big chunk of training and the... It feels like you haven't left any stone unturned.
I hope so.
In your
quest. I think you do get to this point and you start second-guessing everything, don't you? And you start thinking, what if I should have done more of this, or, you know.
Well, it's the last sort of 2.5-3 weeks of a big training, isn't it, before
yeah.
a taper. So it's sort of important not to get injured as well, isn't it? You feel like
yeah.
you're on the line of possible injury or...
And you're tired. I don't know about you.
And you're tired a lot.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, the good thing is you're in the long game. You know what... You know what marathon you're doing next after this one, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always say to people doing comedy, people starting out in comedy say, what shall I do? I'm doing this gig.
Yeah.
You say, do more than one gig, because there's too much pressure on that show.
Yes.
You know, you're going to live or die by that few minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas you're like, well, I'll be in, what's your next one, Chicago in the autumn, you know?
Right outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, it's a bit like the either side of the 3 hour thing. It's a way of thinking about it. But it's
yeah.
true that this isn't the first or last marathon you're ever going to do.
No.
And that does take some of the pressure off.
It does, but you can only do maybe 2 or 3 a year. I mean, for me, 2 a year feels a lot.
Yeah.
If you're
because it's such
them,
a big
yeah.
ramp. It's such a big build-up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're right. There's always another marathon. But if you're lucky enough to get 3 or 4 months of solid training, you kind of you sort of want to get the most out of that, don't you?
Yeah,
the
day's like
the time to kind of rinse it, isn't it?
That's the trouble with marathons, isn't it? Like, where if it was a 10K, even a half, you have a bad one, you as well as another one. You can enter another one in a month, or you're not going to have done that, like you say, that big sort of ski jump ramp up to it.
And do you want to run further than the marathon?
No. I just don't see the appeal. I don't get it. I mean, maybe that's just because I'm focusing on times.
Yeah.
And I like to run fast.
Yes.
Yeah. And you do go fast, you know, and that's apparent. Like you say, going right back to that first 10K. I mean, it's slightly misleading, the mileage you're doing, because you're very much a pace runner. And between us, I think you're more interested. I mean, you're all over marathon stuff at the moment, Paul, but I think you've got a sniff on the wind of wanting to do an ultra, of wanting to go further.
Mate, I'm completely conflicted between, I want to get this sub-3 monkey off my back.
Yeah. I'll get that.
And then I want to get...
I've heard that actually having a monkey on your back is very bad training.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Zatopek used to train with his wife on his back, so perhaps monkey-led training is the way forward.
Zatopek, yeah. But I...
You mean she was asleep in the house, right?
Different no, kind it's of carrying, one. Well, it's
physically
a bit of
carrying
a myth,
it, maybe a bit of a myth, but...
Yeah.
To be fair, I think that...
Running the bath, doing his washing as well, didn't he?
Yeah, kind of improvising a treadmill.
But yeah, once you got the monkey off
and
your
then,
back...
And then I'm quite keen to spend June and July, once I've totally recovered, getting as quick as I can on the track, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Doing 3,000s and 5,000s and... Just really getting some speed up, and then maybe another marathon in the autumn. But initially, come off the mileage.
Yeah, and just work
and
on
get,
speed.
Get really, just get a bit quicker if I can. I mean, you know, there's certain age dependence things. I can't get physically quicker in terms of leg speed, but just work on it for a bit, you know.
Yeah, no, I feel exactly the same. And I think because you're mentally, you get so tired of the long runs, and you start dreaming about short and sharp races and.
Your body feels a bit battered, doesn't it, in the middle of marathon training?
It does.
You just wake up feeling tired and go to bed feeling tired.
What you want to do, though, is get out there one of these weeks and just smash Junior Parkrun.
Yeah.
Take it, kids.
That'd be great.
Well, I always complain to my kids that I've only done like about 9 or 10 actual adult park runs, but I've done about 30 junior ones, but I don't get to count them.
Yeah. They are so good, aren't they, park runs? Just training, they're really good for
them. Yeah, nice tempo. I don't do them that often because I do track training sessions on Saturday mornings usually.
Right, okay.
But I always go out and do one the week before London.
Just as a little...
Find a fast course.
Little tickle and see how you are. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And are you in a club?
Yeah, Wimbledon Windmillers.
All right, okay. Good club, fun club. How long have you been with a
club? It's a fabulous club. I guess... I joined them probably the autumn that I started running, so that would be like 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm actually co-ladies captain now.
Right.
With my lovely friend Julia.
Good for you. It does help, doesn't it, being in a club in terms of getting faster?
Definitely.
Just because you're with quicker people and that kind of hanging on to quick people.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not able to make that many of the group sessions in the week because they're kind of in the evenings and with the kids and stuff, and it's quite tricky. But even just knowing what other people are doing, you know, it's quite inspiring when you see somebody sort of really acing a race or something. You think, yeah, I want to be able to do that. You know.
And so we come to Strava. you're Strava?
I am Strava.
Of course you're Strava.
Are we being Strava as we speak?
Oh,
it's been Strava.
I Strava Junior Park.
This is Stravaing us.
We're Strava.
Get down.
Against our will.
They can see us. Strava.
Find out. We're not on it yet. It's a matter of debate.
Oh, I love it. I really
do. Of course you do. Loads of people do. We're resisting. It's like King Canute, isn't it? We're resisting the tide of it.
We get how good it is. We're more worried about becoming too obsessed than not being obsessed enough.
Yes, that definitely is more of a worry. I mean, I don't use it in the... I don't go and hunt segments.
Okay.
Like, I just
That's
run.
That's good. That sounds healthy.
I do whatever my run is.
Right.
And, it, you know, if that happens to include segments, then it's just automatic, isn't it?
Yeah, then you will speed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's obviously
but are you,
good fun.
I don't really know.
Right.
There's only about 3 segments in the entire London on my regular route that I'm totally aware of where they start and end.
How long are the segments?
I think if they're anything, but you can invent your own. So
oh, that's interesting.
You can do 100 metres or,
right,
you know, 3 miles, I think.
What you should do is pick a really short downhill segment right near your house and then say to everyone else, chew on that!
Well, there is one, the one that I know near the Guardian. Well, I'm the top of the women's leaderboard and my colleague is the top of the men's. Really, because it's a route that you would not run unless you worked at the Guardian.
So that sprint that Rob did back from the canal to the...
Oh, well, that's probably
so that
high,
could
yeah.
be his own segment when
he could have ruined
when he lost his
mobile.
Chances,
yeah, I would have had trouble measuring it, obviously.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Oh, look at these guys. I'm going to take their picture. There's a
That's very pretty.
Japanese couple taking a picture under the cherry blossom.
Oh, it's Sakura.
How luckily.
When we were in Japan, it was just before the cherry blossom season.
Right.
It's lucky, isn't it, cherry
and
blossom?
People were taking pictures of it all the time because they had plum blossom.
It's actually
comes before cherry.
Right. We're actually that late in the season that cherry blossom's finishing. It's absolutely
gorgeous.
That's
it's gorgeous. Been so windy as well, I think it's...
Yeah. Well, that's Thelma for you. Hurricane Thelma. So we've gone nearly all the way around Regent's Park.
Yep.
But we didn't go up Primrose Hill. And I'm going to quote you now because you said you don't much like hills. And I want to quote that just for people who are cowed by your running prowess. I wanted to give them something
oh, no,
to hope
I'm
for.
I'm not good on... on hills. I am really bad at cross country running.
Did you do any races this year?
The cross country?
Yeah.
I've done a couple of the Surrey League one that my team's in.
Because I did it for the first time in about 30 years this year.
Yeah.
My goodness, it's hard, isn't it?
Oh, it's just...
When you're not used to it.
It's just, so the thing is, but you can never be used to it. No. That's my problem with it, because...
It's brutal, isn't it?
It's brutal, and you never know the course well enough to know what to expect.
Yeah, and the way in which it tires you out is so hard to pin down.
Yeah.
It's just some weird combination of hill effort and mud effort. And
every tree trunk effort.
And thinking effort as well. Your eyes are on it, you know.
God, the last one we did, this one was in somewhere out in Coolsden, I think.
Yeah.
And it was snowing. And it was kind of so windy that it was snowing horizontally into your face.
Like it.
And
classic
cross
country. Classic.
My kids came to watch, bless them.
Bless them indeed.
My husband was away. They basically had no choice. By the end of that race, they were crying because it was so cold.
Why is Mummy doing this?
I was virtually crying because it was so rubbish. Yeah, no, it's not my forte.
But it's still kind of exhilarating in a way as well.
Yeah,
it's so different. It's so Because I love road races because you get in a groove and it's all about rhythm. And
yeah.
And cross country is just anti that, isn't it?
Yeah, that, I think that's my problem with it, because there is no rhythm.
No.
And I'm not very good at that.
Well, rhythm is a dancer. It's a source of anger.
I did.
Yes, makes me very angry.
I did the Nationals.
Oh, it's like in Nottingham. Yeah, yeah.
That was really hard.
I know, like, well, a proper mud fest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, have you got a plan for the day then for London? Have you got pace ideas? You've got, what's your notion? What's your game plan?
I haven't really thought that much about it, but probably right. Not. I don't want to go through too quickly, and I know it's going to be mentally really tough then, because like you said, I'm not going to have much of a cushion,
right?
So I have to be really careful not to let that slip.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I don't think I'm on form to suddenly whip out, you know, 257 or something.
Right,
I think it is going to be close, so I don't want to blow up.
It's that thing of, it's so much better, we talked about this last week, to be overtaking in the second half and getting overtaken.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been part of that wave of runners who's overtaking everyone.
Yeah.
As opposed to the runners getting picked off.
Yeah.
It's
quite hard, like, to going backwards.
It's quite hard to manage, isn't it, though? It's quite hard to judge.
Yeah.
To sum up what you're saying now, you're basically saying, I don't want to go too fast early on, but
yeah.
On the other hand, I have to run the whole thing as fast as I can.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm lucky that I've got someone who's going to pace me.
Great.
Okay. You got a personal pacemaker?
I have, yeah.
That's nice. That's always good to have.
I think it's better for me because I don't know about you, but I hate the group pacers in races.
No, they really mess things up.
Really mess with my head.
Yeah.
It gets too intense, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's too many people.
Yeah.
And when you're with one person, they know that you're going to have a bad mile and a good mile or whatever.
It's a dialogue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which the group pacers can't have.
Yeah, they just have to be metronomic and just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so that if you, for a second, you know, if you have a bad mile, you might have recovered that if you weren't with them. But you can see them going.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just destroys you.
Well, I had that, funny enough, in my London Marathon before last when I did it in just under 3:20. Sorry. And I was hoping for a 3:15.
Yeah.
And at about 22, I watched the 3:15 pacer go.
Yeah.
And thought, oh, sod that. And I had a little walk at about 25, which lost me, say, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I came in at 3:19:18. So it's exactly that. And also, Paul, what you were saying earlier on about the danger of presenting yourself with a negative and just throwing the whole thing away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you really got to watch that.
You get that tension around water stations as well when you're in with a big chunk of people being paced. Everyone gets so manic and sort of a bit aggressive. It's just an escalating tension that you feel. But you've got to find a way of setting your own pace.
And it's putting yourself in a crowd within the crowd. I think that, going out to everyone who's listening, I think the paces are really useful.
Of course.
Just got to keep them at a kind of metaphorical arm's length.
And also, like, some people are brilliant at just like, okay, that's my pace, I stay with them. And they're like,
and that's
just holding on. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely individual. Yeah. I'm just really rubbish at it because it gets in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would, I think you've talked on the podcast about the whole kind of central governor theory and all
this.
Oh,
right, yes, yeah, yeah.
And what you think you can do
based
on what your head's telling you or your body's telling you.
But what you actually can do.
And what you actually can do. When I ran Cambridge Half the week after Tokyo, I didn't wear a watch.
Yeah.
I did wear it, but I put it in my pocket. I didn't look at it. And if I'd have known what pace I was running at, I actually think I'd have backed off.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd have been like, oh, you can't do that. We can't do a marathon. Are you crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
It's really interesting because I'm contemplating not wearing a watch in London.
Yeah.
Well, London's the place to do it because you've got so much information.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I've got mile markers and clocks every mile and then every 10K.
Yeah.
Apart, of course, from 26.
Depending on how close you are, that's where you really want it. Yeah.
But really, you sort of know the story at 25, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of aiming to hit 25 as close to 250 as I can manage it.
Yeah.
And then just take it from there, you know?
Yeah.
if it's 2:52, this is going to be really close.
Yeah.
And if it's 2:50, I've got a bit of time, and if I'm under it, then I've done it. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. So, but even with that, it'd be still nice to see something at 26, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm
sure they have this big palace there.
Yeah. What I actually did in Cambridge is I started with my watch and I stuck it in a pocket,
right,
zipped it out, didn't look at it until 12 miles.
Okay.
Which is probably the equivalent of a, you know.
Yes, yeah,
25
yeah.
Minutes. And I looked at it and I thought, okay.
Ooh.
I'm on for a PB here. And I had seen the clock at 10K.
What is the PB?
1:26.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
So I did look at it and thought, okay, so just keep this up and you'll get a PB.
Yeah. Well, Paul was saying the other week that the other thing is it's a good time to know your time in the last mile or so, because once that finish line is there on the horizon,
yeah,
you have got more access to whatever's in the back.
Yes.
It's a lot more useful to know you're on for a good time
the last mile
at 25 than at 21, because at 21 you're like, oh, I'm on for a good time, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that when you've got a mile to go.
No, you just...
You're going to smile.
And it almost takes care of itself, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, unless you cramp or have some kind of weird...
Yeah. Yeah, you just think, come on, yeah.
I can just hear people ahead of us getting in touch in May just going, you said the last mile would take care of itself.
I didn't know I had to run it.
So are we going to cross here and get back on the canal?
Well, if we go along a bit, we can say hello to the giraffes.
All right, then.
Which is my favourite bit.
I like it. Are you going to stick your neck out and say, let's do that? Giraffe comedy.
There's this fellow at my club called François, and he's a mysterious French athlete, and he runs without a watch, and he's just really into, like, you concentrate on your cadence,
yeah,
and also the shortest route as well. You get into that running the shortest route, which can be significant over time.
Yeah,
you can run quite a bit further
following those blue dashes on the ground in London.
Yes, weirdly they didn't have a racing line in Tokyo.
Did they not?
Well, it's quite strange given that
that they're so into...
Well, the elite field, I mean, they were going for a world record.
Yes, so really, were they? Wow.
You didn't get one. I think it's the fastest ever time on Japanese soil, though, so... Maybe I'm being stupid, maybe there was one, but I did look.
Yeah. Just going past ZSL there, I do some stuff with them sort of charity stuff that he runs. It's the Zoo 10K on Sunday.
Oh, the Stampede or whatever. Yeah, so I've never done that.
Well, it's difficult this Sunday because it's Mother's Day.
Yes.
So I didn't make any plans to be running because family. But how do your family square the running? Obviously, from what you said, it's a big part of things.
Yeah, no, I mean, my husband is, you know, hugely supportive. It does help. It kind of helps and hinders me. He's a sports journalist.
Right.
He works at The Guardian as well.
Right, that is helpful.
And he knows what elite runners do. He knows how hard it is,
yep,
how hard they work. Although that does sometimes mean that he'll say, well, Mo does this.
Yeah.
And they have to go, yeah. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a few differences between me and Mo Farah.
I was just thinking just then that I have so much, sometimes listeners have got in touch to say to me, stop comparing yourself to Paul. Here's the giraffes.
Yes.
Are they out of the house today?
Let's have a look.
But you're out there. You're actually comparing yourself to Mo, so I do all right. Come on, giraffes.
You can just see one. It's just hiding in the third door.
Just about.
And there's a zebra. A little zebra's around the corner.
There's a giraffe inside that door. Just see the spots on its back. Oh, yeah, there's
nice
the zebra.
To see them. Yeah.
I thought we saw him back up there going across the road as a zebra crossing.
And then
my daughter will be jealous. And will they all be on the sidelines on marathon day?
Well, they'll be at home. The girls will be at home. My husband will be covering it up for The Guardian, so he's there, but he's writing about, you know, who wins it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, they do go fast, those guys.
But my kids are very kind of, they watch it on telly, and my in-laws come and look after them, so that's...
Big dog.
One magpies.
Avoid the wolf.
Should we point out to that guy or you that's not 400 metres?
So quick.
Yes. I never knew I'd hear me.
Massive.
Here come the lunchtime runners. We tried to get out slightly ahead of one of the other magpies. These guys are Yeah.
It's a lot of runs around here, isn't there?
Yeah. I see a lot of familiar faces. There's a guy I see. I swear he runs, like, you know, when they haven't blocked off bits of the towpath, I run this route.
Right.
I don't know, probably 4 days out of every five. There's a guy I see virtually every day. And I always smile at him every time. Never smiles back.
Oh,
my
on,
life's
mate.
Mission is there to get a smile at that
mate.
Guy.
That's one of the things I love about the deeper in country you go. If you go up a mountain in the rain and you see someone else running,
yeah,
then you're going to share a moment with them, aren't you?
Yeah.
Whereas you go running in London, like you say, you can see people all the time or just end up... But then it's not just running. In London, I went through a doorway that had two mums and two little kids in it yesterday.
Yeah.
And they still managed to carry on behaving as if I didn't exist. And I'm quite a big fella. And I was going, oh, sorry, guys. Oh, here I come. Sorry, guys. But no, I was invisible. It sounds like, have you got a way you do take marathons on? Or what do you eat? How early do you get up? What's your taper?
Well, I've been trying to be super sort of healthy for this one. I've been doing this nutrition plan that is devised by this company in the States who work with, I think they work with lots of average runners, but also some elite runners.
Yeah.
And so I've been... Oh, it's a bit windy, isn't it?
Did you see that duck?
Right.
There's a wind really blowing into us, and there was a duck doing that kind of ride into land. And then I was like, wait a minute, I'm going to get to Heathrow.
Yeah, going the wrong way now. So I've been following this plan, and I always give up booze and chocolate for at least a month before.
Right.
Yeah.
Which has become a kind of ritual, really.
Yes. You feel the difference, don't you, with the booze? Definitely.
Yeah.
In terms of...
So I probably should have caught you last night when you were, you know, three bottles of wine and a
actually, I had
pound
my
of
last
dairy milk.
Drink. What was it? Last drink was last weekend. I can't remember now. And chocolate I haven't had since... Oh, God, I can't remember now. Tokyo, maybe?
Really?
Very good.
You're good.
Good.
I've started stockpiling my favourite chocolate to eat straight afterwards, honestly.
Straight afterwards?
Yeah, well...
On the finish line.
What is your... That's quite a nice thing to talk about, actually. Your marathon evening treat, your wind down. I always took it into a champagne and orange juice.
Yes.
Kind of Buck's Fizz type thing.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
I kind of get into that quite seriously.
I tend to do it probably the day after because although my fantasies at the moment revolve entirely around all the stuff I'm going to eat straight afterwards, reality is I usually feel a bit queasy.
Yeah. No, your body is pared down. It's not...
Yeah.
It's irritatingly inefficient at food and drink once you finish a marathon, isn't it? It's like, we thought you wanted us to run and nothing else.
So, I mean, I'll probably actually eat a bit of toast or something. But then the next day, I will just... Honestly, I've been so healthy since January. I've been eating so much protein.
Yeah.
I started fantasizing. I've got a list of things I'm going to eat.
Including chips.
Well... Mainly seem to be obsessing about sweet stuff.
Yeah, right.
But current obsession, Marks and Spencer's jam donuts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get a bag of them.
Yep.
And I'm basically going to inhale them.
Yeah, good.
See, I had chips the other night after my... something loads of mileage. For me, loads of mileage, anyway.
Yeah.
Which is only like 55, 60 a week.
Yeah.
But for me, that's more than I've ever done.
Yeah.
Did a track session... Just had some chips. Just went to a chip shop and then had chip sandwiches.
Nice.
Felt great.
Well, you said I just had some chips and then threw
salt,
in the sandwiches.
Carbs,
some bread
salt,
got in there as well, didn't it?
It's great.
It's so funny that back in the day, you know, my mum, when I was little, 70s, my mum would serve bread and butter with every meal. So you could put anything, any kind of carb in a sandwich.
Yeah.
Roast potato sandwich, why not?
I think I might have to have that after London. That sounds so good.
There you go. With jam.
Yeah. Just a pot of jam with a spoon on the side.
And what about on the way around? Are you a carb gel person?
Yeah, I mean, I have breakfast. I'm a bit... my digestion, I was obviously not very fast because I usually have to eat like before a big race or a hard session. I normally eat like 3 hours before.
Right, yeah.
So I'll have, you know, toasted bagels and peanut butter.
Yep. And you're a veggie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then during the race, yeah, just the gels, you know.
When do they start? When do you start gelling?
Well, probably after. I can't remember. Probably after about 45 minutes, the
right,
first one.
Okay. All right.
But I might
try. So about
try
halfway.
Yeah, I wish.
Sorry. We're getting back into the Camden crush now.
Always I think inside. What I've done before is maybe start a bit later, but then take them a little bit too close together.
Right. Okay.
So I might try starting a little bit earlier, but having slightly bigger gaps.
Yeah,
I was talking to Jenny Spink, who I mentioned earlier. She's an amazing runner, a lovely lady. She's in the elite field. And she was saying she takes basically three gels, one at 7, one at 14, one at 21.
Okay.
And yep. She always carries another one but never manages to take it.
Because I've tended historically to start taking them later. But
yes.
Then have them at shorter intervals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've done several times 14 and 21, but I wouldn't have done the 7 one. Kind of want to save it until I need it, but you don't want to save it until you're desperate for it.
Well, exactly. I think that's the. I guess it's the difference between needing it and it being an extra little boost. You know, like I've done, I think, kind of 19, 20 mile runs without any gels.
Yeah.
Or any breakfast.
Excuse
and,
me.
Know, I can do
Excuse
that,
me.
But...
Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Sorry.
She was a bit nervous about her lunch there, wasn't she?
Enya was a bit worried about her lunch. I think they said her name was Enya. See, I'm in the way of the runners and the cannon. Here we are. It's always exciting. It's really funny coming through here because there's always loads of people. I think there's always quite
lots
a lot of people
smoking dodgy stuff.
There's, yeah, and lots of people who are just not used to this many people at once.
Yeah.
So when the crowds build up, they're like, oh, don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, in its own way, it is a bit of practice for the worst of a marathon day. I hope that London isn't as busy as Bath Half was. It was very tough off the top there to get into a rhythm.
Yeah.
And last year was the first time I'd noticed London being busy, but still even then, it wasn't a problem. It's just
no.
A couple of times on bends when it felt like the crowd really...
What's the best?
Let's cross and then go along. Yeah. We'll cross sooner because it's busier on this side.
Oh, yeah, we came up this way, didn't we?
If we can get across in front of that truck.
I think we can get across there. I've never found a problem at London.
No.
I found Berlin very congested.
I think that last year, you know, quite early on, you go under a big road, I think it's the A12 or something.
Yeah.
And there's a big drum band underneath it.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's a really good moment.
Yeah.
Lots of, this way,
right.
Lots of people cheering and a really good scene.
Yeah.
And everyone, it's that early stage, and it's about sort of, I don't know, so you're only 2 miles in.
Yeah.
So it's quite an exciting, we're off now moment. And I was really enjoying it, thinking, yeah! And we're curving around this roundabout. And someone, you know, literally hooked my foot with their foot, like a primary school trip up. And I don't know if I was actually saying yeah, but what it felt like I went, yeah, let's go! Full on London slapstick. But then, yeah, Bath was like that for ages, whereas London generally seems to shake itself down.
Yeah, and I think because you've got the three starts and it does filter it out a bit.
I found having only run, London, I'd done York, but my only huge city marathon had been London.
Yeah.
I found Berlin very disappointing.
Yeah.
In terms of that atmosphere.
Yeah, it's very kind of polite German clapping, isn't it? Of
yes.
A few people standing there.
And yeah, and people just kind of looking, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas I can remember being a... Oh, excuse us, sorry. It's coming down a very narrow flight of steps back onto the canal. Ooh. Yeah, I remember in London, if you come around a corner, A, there's crowds everywhere.
Yeah.
And if they're ever not cheering, it's so beyond the pale that you can go, come on, guys.
Yeah, and people would just...
Whereas if you did that in Germany, they're all like, well, why would we be cheering?
I think that's the thing that I really, before I did my first marathon, I thought I would be quite kind of underwhelmed by London, because, you know, parts of it are my run home from work. It's hardly unfamiliar. I grew up in London. It's not exciting and new and, you know.
Yeah.
But every time I do it, every time, three times I've done it,
yeah.
I'm just blown away by it.
Yeah, yeah.
The support, and God, the organisation is amazing.
It's incredible.
The best of London, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really is.
It's like, you know, I always think it's like when, you know, before 2012, we all became like really grumpy and cynical about how much the Olympics cost.
Yes.
And it was going to be a disaster.
And just how rubbish it was going to be. Yeah, yeah.
And it was going to be terrible. And the minute it started, we just went completely flipped.
Yeah, it wasn't just good, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and you talked to complete strangers on the tube about it, and everyone was just so happy about it. And I always think London Marathon Day is a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I kind of go home on the tube afterwards and have random conversations with people.
No, it's amazing, it really is.
And I think also I realise now that, that whole culture, the whole charitable thing, is very British.
Yes.
People in other countries don't have that. It's not just marathon running, it's whatever you do for charity. Shave your head or go for a long walk.
Yeah.
I was on my way home from Bath Half. I bumped into a lady who'd done Eye to Eye, which was a 14-mile walk from Moorfields Eye Hospital to London Eye.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so... it's kind of capturing that spirit of effort and camaraderie.
Yes.
And using it for something that's practically good, you know.
Yeah.
And also the charities in London, they're like the individuals. They're all each having their own huge day.
Yes.
But equally, they're all next to each other and kind of democratised.
And they make such a lovely noise and you go past.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cheering everybody.
Last year, Parkinson's UK, who run for Parkinson's UK, they had a huge kind of balloon fest.
Yeah.
Right in, you know, under, what's it called? Canary Wharf, you know, the Canada Square. And, you know, that can be a bit of a dry, you know, sci-fi spot, can't it?
Is this dog taking the other dog for a walk?
Yeah, well, I think actually we're scaring them into the canal even as we speak. Sorry, guys.
Stop.
Don't mind us. It's not us.
Stop.
Go back.
We don't need a pacer.
That's it.
There you go, fellas.
Surely one of them should be attached to a human.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Parkinson's, all the support things and all the other, even if you see someone from another charity going past their thing, you know, it's just such a great moment. And yeah, that one last year, with about the 19 mile mark, you know. Oh, look, there's a good bird, that's a cormorant.
Oh, yeah.
See, it's going to have to dry off after this because they haven't got any natural oils to dry themselves off like ducks.
Yeah, are you doing New York in the autumn?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
so New York's kind of different again. In that it has huge support, but it's not really a charity race.
Right.
So it's all kind of individual. And you get these crazy, like, brilliant signs that people make.
Yeah.
Genuinely, like, laugh out loud funny moments.
Yeah, yeah.
While you're running. But kind of completely different to London.
What else about New York? Because I've heard quite a lot about New York now, but I can't pin it down. It just seems like a huge, crazy thing.
Yeah, it's weird. The bridges, the hills. I always think of it as being more epic, which is ridiculous because obviously it's the same distance as any other marathon.
Yeah, but
it feels a bit more, I don't know if it's because of the landscape, you know, you kind of, even though I've been to New York loads of times, whenever you see that skyline, you're kind of thinking of, I don't know, films that you saw when you were a kid.
Well, yeah, not just films, but those opening title shots, you know, the kind of helicopter shot of Manhattan.
It has that kind of cinematic quality to it. And I think that kind of still lingers when you just look at it. And then it has such kind of highs and lows.
Yeah.
So, like, the bit over the 59th Street Bridge into Manhattan, which is a really long bridge, which against all logic goes up more than it goes down.
Yeah.
And it's hellish because you're about mile 15 to 16.
Yeah.
Which can be quite a tough patch.
Yeah.
And there's no one on it, obviously, because they can't let people on for health and safety. And it's kind of covered as well.
Right.
Like, it's a double decker, essentially. And so your garment goes completely.
Yeah.
And all you can hear is your own thumping.
Yeah.
And then you just feel like you're on that bridge forever. And then you come off it around a corner onto the sort of, I don't know, the equivalent of the embankment. And you just get hit in the face with this wall of sound.
Yeah.
That is like nothing else I've experienced.
It's almost worth having that down to experience the full wham of
it's
that.
It's like a physical sensation. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's like winning a race on your own, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a tiny, tiny insight in what it must be like to run in the Olympics or something.
Yeah.
You know, have that kind of wall of sound wheeling you round.
Yeah. Oh, bike.
Go bear left.
Let's keep left. Let's not do an Enya on this. I don't think it was the Enya. See, you guys with all your mileage, I'm on about 30 miles this week. I've got a really worrying twinkle in my right leg. I'm going to have to say, guys, I'm taking a day off after this.
Come on, you can't stop me. My second run today.
Yeah.
I did a track session this morning.
Any, have you got anything twingling?
Just my entire body is one twingle at this stage.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it'd be hard to identify, but it doesn't.
Yeah, good. Keep it all in balance.
Yeah.
I have that over my knees, because my knees complain really badly. I always think of this level of training. As long as they're both hurting, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
We did 22, didn't we, on Saturday?
Yeah.
Which was nice.
It's really good. Did you hear that woman? I think she might be on the mic.
What are we in the
phone for? What are we in the
phone for?
What is that?
One of our friends who ran with Lisa Jackson was saying...
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know Lisa Jackson. There's a man on a Brompton going down a very steep slope onto that pontoon. Yeah, she said... she spoke to a guy who... She said, when someone clapped me on the marathon, she said, that's the only time anyone's ever clapped me for anything.
Really?
I think it's really good for the soul to get cheered every now and again, you know?
Do you know what's really lovely at Tokyo?
Yeah.
When you cross the line and then you walk to the bit where they give you a medal and then they give you some water and all that.
Yeah.
They form a line either side.
Yeah.
And everybody claps you. Every single runner gets clapped.
Wow, that is really good.
And it's so lovely.
Kind of formal.
Yeah.
Parkinson's UK do that back at their hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, every runner
sweet.
Who comes in gets a round of applause. And the brilliant thing about that is their whole do is downstairs. It's down about a dozen steps.
Yeah.
So as well as being a lovely moment for your ego...
It probably lasts quite a long time.
Well, it also just gets you down those steps.
Yeah.
Your knees are going, I do not want to go down the staircase.
nothing worse than post-marathon stairs.
Yeah, absolutely. No one wants that.
No.
But on the other hand, keep going back to Berlin. When I came in over that line in Berlin that same year you were there,
yeah,
they give you out those yellow bin bag tabard things.
Yeah.
I slipped it on, and then you're kind of just rustling through. And then they played Hero from Boyhood. I don't want to be your hero. And then I just started crying. I was like, oh, come on, guys. It's too much.
They give you a no alcohol beer at that point as well.
Oh, yeah, 4 pints. Sorry, everyone. If you got there too late and there weren't any left, that was me. Straight back. So, do you know, I noticed just the other day that King's Place, I know it quite well, I've done a couple of gigs there in the lovely music venue down the bottom.
Yeah.
But I only noticed for the first time the other day that the front of it is two wavy open pages, like a newspaper.
I've always thought like a book, but you could be right.
Yeah. Well, I think it would have to have got wet if it's a book. I mean, it's pretty wavy.
Yeah.
It's well thumbed.
Yeah.
But I prefer book, because if it's a newspaper, it's a bit on the nose, isn't it?
A bit tabloid format, though, isn't it?
Well, that's... No, I think it's Berliner. Pretty sure it's Berliner. So what's the... what vibe are you getting from the blog pre-London Marathon?
But there's obviously a lot of people who come and chat on it who are doing it. So.
Yeah.
But then equally, you always get people who go, it's not just about London, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely. I know, I'm sorry I live here.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
I decided to avoid steps after our recent conversation.
Yes.
Oh no, and there's a lot of, we're getting really close. This is our long run was in Brighton. There's Brighton Marathon next week.
Yes,
that
that's
should be
right.
good.
And then
I'd really love to do Brighton. It's just that you can't do Brighton and London if you get that London place.
No, they're just too close, aren't they?
Yeah.
Even if you just jogged one or whatever, it's still.
And also, when you look at the old training schedule, that extra 2-3 weeks closer to Christmas that Manchester and Brighton have just makes all the difference.
Oops.
Did you get elbowed?
Yeah, bagged.
Well, that's good. You've earned it. Well, thanks for taking us out.
Thank you. It was fun. Made my run feel much. You know, when you're chatting, it always feels.
You don't
goes
you
much quicker,
do you?
It?
That's
yeah,
right. Yeah.
yeah.
When me and Paul went up, our run starts with a long mile-long slow hill.
Yeah.
And I ran the same hill. We did that on Saturday. And ran it again on Monday. And I was just saying, this hill is so long! So thank you for distracting me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, selfie time. Yeah, that was really good. Well, we'll see you. We'll see you on April the 23rd.
Yeah.
And
Good luck. Good luck with the last
you
few
too.
Weeks.
What's your how can running commentary people get after you? And what's the Twitter story?
That's a Darren Ann Finn, author of Running with the Kenyans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great book.
We've just done a podcast run. You should get him to do it.
Yeah,
really.
Would you?
No,
would you?
Yeah.
You're on the spot now, so
yeah, he has to say yes.
I've read both of them as well, and in Japan as well. I've read both of them. Yeah, great books, really great books. Yeah, yeah, definitely, absolutely. That'd be amazing. That'd be great. Yeah.
Running commentary.
Yeah, with the forerunners by runners whilst running. That's a big thing.
You were asking me something, and I can't remember what it was.
Oh, that was your Twitter where we can find
you. My Twitter is at Kate Helen Carter.
Kate Helen Carter, all together.
All one word. Yeah.
Very easily done. We're Run Compod on Twitter, as some of you will know. Running commentary on Facebook, and we're on Instagram. Started putting pictures up again because, you know, winter, they're not as good looking.
Yeah.
Got some lovely stuff in the Downs.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Paul Tolkienson and Rob Deering.